Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm Az from FPL Black Box.
Well, morning Az, another challenging week in FPL, wasn't it? Plenty of drama for us to discuss, including a couple of very notable penalty misses. And after eight clean sheets in all competitions, Arsenal finally concede a goal to, you know, fellow Champions League hopefuls, I don't know, Sunderland. We'll go through the weekend's games in a bit, but before we do, how was game week 11 for you?
It was a good week to have a bad week, I think, as the saying goes. I mean, it wasn't great. 41 points. I've seen some worse scores out there. I've seen some really, really good scores, but they're around 50, 60 points. So if you manage 50, 60 points, you're listening to this, well done. I think that constitutes as a really good game week this week.
Agreed.
And if you got like 25, 30 points, you weren't a million miles off the average of 38. So, I mean, I'm trying to take these poor game weeks on the chin. It's happened a few too many times to me this season, but I do think this one was just a generally poor game week, right? There wasn't many points on show. We're going to talk about some of the missed penalties and players not scoring good chances and players missing out like you had in your team.
Well, players not even showing up. Yeah, I mean, if I missed it, then tell me. But I don't think there was even a hint of Mark Gahey not showing up for Crystal Palace at the weekend. So
couldn't even walk, Glasner said. So
well,
this has been bad.
Now I've got my ear to the ground and listening to it. You know, I'm hanging on every word that Glasner's saying, because I think he was talking about the fact he couldn't. Yeah, heavily bruised foot. Maybe there's a, you know, he's on crutches, etc. So yeah, I'm fingers crossed he's going to be okay after the international break. But for me, the Gahey no-show really was the difference between a red and a green. I had a very small red arrow. I was about 1.6 million before the game week. I'm at about 1.7 now. I was bang average, 38. I mean, literally bang average on the points. And Gahey not turning up meant that I didn't get the Crystal Palace clean sheet, clearly. And in a world where, you know, a lot of FPL players have got Crystal Palace, they are heavily backed, right? You've got the Richards and the Lacroix and the Munozes. There's a lot of Crystal Palace defence out there. So for Gahey not to play and for Mark Guillou to come on with the one as my auto sub, I'm kind of minus five against the crowd, aren't I, a little bit?
Yeah.
So yeah, had Gahey turned up and got that clean sheet, my, you know, small red might have been a small green. But either way, it's an average game week. So do you know what? Not a hell of a lot going on in my team, but plenty of action on the pitch to discuss. As let's start with Arsenal's draw at Sunderland then. And before we talk about Arsenal, because they are obviously going to be a topic of conversation for us, Sunderland, no joke this season. Goodness me, what a year they're having so far. After 11 game weeks, their defence in particular, and I know that they've conceded two here against Arsenal, but going forward, the defence looks great. Joint fourth for clean sheets with four. Joint fourth for lowest XGC as well. So the foundations on which this Sunderland side are built are very, very good. And we have to give kudos to Ballard, don't we? I mean, what a performance from big Dan Ballard. I mean, more headed chances than any other defender this season. So he's just the big target man, isn't he, from set pieces. What a guy. And he took the goal so well as well, didn't he? What a finish. And then I found out, I didn't know this actually, because I'm not, not looking into Dan Ballard's history every week, but you know, ex-Arsenal was in the academy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's ex-Arsenal. Yeah. He sort of grew up at Hale End and a few different loans, etc. Didn't kind of work out for him. So, yeah, this was a big game for him. Massive, massive performance.
And potentially only in the team because Aldrete is out,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Kind of usurped him early in the season.
So come on and taking his chance really, really well. Well, before we get on to Arsenal, what do you make of Sunderland? What do you make of the game in general?
Well, they're a great team. I mean, you don't have, you know, 11 weeks and be where they are in the league and not say they're
it's
a good team.
It's consistent, isn't it?
It's the consistency, yeah. And the defence is just really, really strong. And I think the worry when you go into Arsenal is, okay, your defence is good, but are you going to be able to score any goals against, you know, arguably the best defence we've seen in, well, probably since Chelsea's, you know, 15 goal season. Absolutely incredible. And it was eight in a row without conceding, I think, for Arsenal. I was watching it with my dad, and my dad isn't a big fan of Arsenal, and he was saying they're not that good, you know, they're overhyped, overrated.
How wrong you are.
And I'm there saying, Dad, come on, you know, they've won eight in a row, they haven't conceded and all this, and then they go and draw 2-2 with Sunderland. I mean, he was over the moon when that second Sunderland goal went in. He felt so vindicated, you know. But it was a great match. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was, you know, it had all different tactics, all different sides. You know, Arsenal were attacking and Sunderland were playing deep, and then they went on the attack and Arsenal were dropping deep. I'm really happy it finished 2-2, because I think Sunderland definitely deserved a point from it. From an FPL perspective, I mean, Saka obviously delivered not a huge amount else. I don't think too many people playing Sunderland defenders in this game anyway. Bukele got the assist, but I imagine he was benched by quite a few. Saka scored, which he needed to do because he's been ages since he got any returns. But then the likes of Timber, Gabriel, Rice, all failing really to deliver. So
just ask you a quick question about Saka, yeah, though, Az, because you're right. I think he did need to return for his owners, but was it coming though a bit? Because I bought him in this week, and one of the reasons I bought him in was because I saw that Burnley game last week. Two big chances missed, a lot of chances created. I'm like, feels like there's a haul coming. So I think we were kind of, I wasn't shocked when he got the big haul against Saka the weekend.
No, I mean, the trouble is, and the story of my season has been like decent players who are just failing to return. You know, I've had Gordon, Enzo, we'll talk about him a bit later. Yeah. He's been a problem. Blimey, yeah. Saar, you know, players that have been scoring in Cups and Champions League games or Europe and then not delivering in the league. So Saka had become another one of those. The thing is, you always know with Saka, it's the corner's going to turn at some point. He is one
too
of the best.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's one of the best players in the league, playing for one of the best teams in the league. Doesn't matter who he's playing. You know, he could be playing Man City away and you're never going to completely write him off getting something in that game. So, you know, I think he was very, very unlucky, you know, whatever you want to call it, he could have had some returns in that game. So I was pretty confident going to Sunderland that he would get something. And if you just bought him in this week, like you did, and you've managed to avoid all of his blanks, you don't deserve him. That's what I'm going to say. You don't deserve his points this week.
Is that not the art of FPL? Watching him the previous week and going, I think I'll get him in.
Yeah.
Got him in for Gordon as well, so I was quite happy with that move. I'll take that. And actually, over the weekend against Sunderland, 17 attempts on goal, Arsenal, 7 on target, just over 2xG. So, yeah, I think fully deserving of, you know, at least a point here. Definitely could have had more. What do you make of the Arsenal defence, though? 2 goals conceded. I mean, for me, it's not a concern whatsoever. I mean, as I was considering bringing Saka in this week, and it was because Jokeres got injured, right? Jokeres is injured. I don't think it's a really bad one for Jokeres, likely back over the international or after the international break, according to Arteta. But we've got to wait and see. But I just didn't want that amount of money sitting on my bench for a couple of weeks, hence the move to Saka. But I did, for a little while, consider the treble Arsenal defence. And there will be FPL managers out there that are on Gabriel, Timber and Raya, or, you know, a combination of the three at the back for Arsenal. But it just shows you, doesn't it? And the reason I didn't do it was, you just never know. You know, just one goal, isn't it? It just takes a Dan Ballard screamer. And then your gay week's in the mud, isn't it? So that was what put me off a little bit. But I'm still on the double with Gabriel and Raya, and I'm pretty happy there. Are you?
I haven't got the double, so I've got Rice and Saka and then Gabriel. So the goal meant a lot to me, you know, because a lot of people have got the double defence, and it's not a great feeling, you know, owning a defender from a team and celebrating when they concede. That isn't really how FPL should be played, but that is how it is because Arsenal have been that good, and you know, it's Spurs and Chelsea next. It's not the best two fixtures. You know, anything could happen. Two big rivals. But you've got to say Spurs have been pretty poor, especially from an attacking perspective. And, you know, Chelsea are you would think, a top four team this season. So it wouldn't massively surprise me to see them concede in those games. But also, you know, sometimes they step up, don't they, in these games and, you know, prioritise a clean sheet. And, you know, it's early in the season, nick a 1-0, something like that. So I wouldn't be worried if I had double defence.
Okay. All right, very good. You mentioned Spurs. Let's move it on to Spurs then. And you're right, in game week 12 after international break, we've got a humdinger of a North London derby, haven't we? Arsenal versus Spurs. At the Emirates, though, which might actually suit Spurs. I mean, I noticed that Spurs, you know, as well as only getting a point this weekend, won only 3 of their last 20 Premier League home games since the start of 2025. So I don't know quite what's going on with Spurs
in that stadium
at home
as well. That lovely stadium.
I know. And I had this conversation with Sam over the weekend. I said, you know, she goes more or less every week. I was like, what's going on there? You know, you have to sit and watch, you know, these performances. Well, I was going to say performances, results and performances. They're not getting either really at the moment. And we couldn't between us kind of put our finger on it. And I did wonder whether there's, you know, that the stadium is incredible, isn't it? They've never been to Spurs, but the stadium is absolutely incredible. And I do wonder whether some of the younger players in the squad, are they getting a bit overawed by it? I don't know. I'm clutching at straws a little bit. But either way, the facts are that they've lost. They've only won, 3 of their last 20 at home. So I don't know. Maybe it suits them to be going to Arsenal in game week 12. I don't know. But either way, it's not a game, given Spurs' form at the moment, it's not necessarily a game that would worry me in terms of my Arsenal assets. So Spurs-Manchester United, let's talk about that game then. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, they've got injuries, haven't they? I mean, Bergvall's a big miss. He started the season really strongly. You lose someone like Madison, you lose a lot of creativity in the team. Kulusevski, has been great, and they've taken him out. I mean, even someone like Bissouma to give them a bit of, you know, depth. I mean, all these players are injured. Xavi's come in. I don't think he's had a particularly great season. Tell's, you know, signed permanently. I wasn't that impressed with him last year, and I don't think he's been... I know he scored against Man U, but I don't think he's been, you know, amazing. And then you lose, like, Kudus as well. And it's like, well, where are the goals going to come from? And to their credit, they managed to get a draw because it looked like it was just heading to to another loss. So they'll be disappointed they conceded the goal right at the death. But at the same time, getting a point from that position might not be the end of the world. They're just a funny team. I don't really want anything to do with Spurs.
I don't know where to go in FPL with them. I mean, Van de Ven, you can... probably hold his price.
Don't talk to me about Van de Ven. I mean, those two goals. I mean, to
you're
be
still
fair,
smarting from that a couple of weeks
I
ago.
I am, but then I mean, then he turned into Messi, didn't he, in the Champions League? So you can't really begrudge.
Yeah,
you can't really begrudge him. But yeah, I have no interest in Spurs assets this season. They just don't appeal to me at all from attacking or defensive potential. So then you come over to Manchester United, and it's only really Mbeumo or Fernandes. I think you're going to be considering from then. I haven't got either. Annoyed that I haven't got either because defensively they are shocking all over the place. You know, I'm not backing them to keep any clean sheets because they look so vulnerable. But attacking wise,
which one would you pick though, Az? If I said to you now, you've got to go with either Mbeumo or Bruno for next week. I think it's a tough choice.
I think there's no question in my mind. I've been saying this all season. It's probably
I know what you're going to say all season.
Mbeumo, no question.
You're not a Bruno fanboy, are you?
I'm not a Bruno fanboy. Just it's don't get me wrong. He's a good asset. He gets assists. He gets the Defcon occasionally.
Got another assist this week. What are you
complaining
about?
Penalties. Absolutely. I'm not saying like you've got to sell him for Mbeumo. I'm just saying if I was to pick, I still think Mbeumo with the role he's playing, the directness, the position, everything, I would still go for him. The only problem is the values are now getting, when it was 8 million and 8.9, it was a complete no-brainer.
In my mind.
It's now 8.5 and 8.9.
He's getting like, a bit more expensive now, Mbeumo, isn't
he? This is it. I think this is the time. I think once they get to like 9 each, then I think maybe, you know, the penalties switch it in Bruno's favour and all of that. But for now, Mbeumo, 100% still.
Yeah, and the fixtures look really good for them. Everton at home up next. Crystal Palace away in 13, which is obviously a difficult game. West Ham at home in 14. Wolves and Bournemouth on the horizon. So, you know, if you were to forgive them that Crystal Palace away game, then the fixtures do look good. So I'm a Bruno owner. I disagree with you a little. I understand where you're coming from. I mean, he's one of those frustrating watches where he can go through a whole 90 minutes and not really do very much and then just pop up with something like he did at the weekend with the assist, right? Like he did with the assist. And in another world, and I'm sure we've said this on an Off the Bench podcast with you and I before, in another world, he hasn't missed those two penalties earlier in the season. He hasn't missed out on DEFCON by just one C-bit, you know, three times.
Yep.
And we're all talking about him being, you know, almost borderline essential ahead of this run of fixtures. So I've no plans to sell him. I will be keeping him. However, I think you're right about Mbeumo. I think the form and the way that United have set up around him is, you know, I was going to say he's hit the ground running. More than that, actually, he's settled in so well at Manchester United. He's now the leading FPL midfielder for non-penalty expected goal involvement, right? So take pens out of the equation for all those midfielders that take pens and just focus on non-pen XGI. Mbeumo is top across all midfielders, and that's four goals in as many matches now as well. So I think if I was in your position and I had neither and I wanted to invest ahead of this run, I think I probably would go him. I think I probably would go Mbeumo over Fernandes, even if the price was the same. I agree with you. I don't think it's worth the move. I think I've got Bruno, I'll stick with him. But if I had neither, I'd be very tempted by Mbeumo, I have to say.
The one thing to bear in mind is he does go to AFCON. And we're not entirely sure when he's going to go, because I think ideally they like them there a couple of weeks before the tournament starts. But I think Manu are pushing for him to go quite late. We think it's going to be around game week 16, whether he plays in that Bournemouth game. Maybe he even gets the Villa game, although I think that's probably quite unlikely. So I would imagine he goes somewhere in the region of 15, 16, which means you only do get 4 or 5 weeks out of it. But then, of course, you get the extra transfers to come in.
It's easy to fix, isn't he? That's the thing.
Yeah,
you've got
exactly.
The five frees, and at his price, you can kind of go most other midfielders. You can go anywhere with that price, can't you? So that wouldn't put me off getting him, I don't think. Even though four weeks worth of decent fixtures, and then you can fix him, if that's the right phrase, with the 5-3s. Yeah, I don't mind it.
What do they do without him? That's the big question, because he's become so crucial to their attack, and he's going to be a massive blow for them over that period.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And I think with the potential knee injury for Sesko as well, maybe they just start to look a little bit light when it comes to AFCON. I mean, it depends how bad Sesko's injury is, right? But speaking of players that are crucial for them, I noticed Casemiro as well. You know, if here's a nice stat for you, right? If the Premier League was based only on first halves of games, United would be top right now. They'd be first. And if the Premier League was based on only second halves of games, they'd be 18th. So what does that say to you? That says to me that there's a real quality drop-off in second halves of games. And for me, that goes hand in hand with maybe Casemiro either, you know, his, you know, not having the engine to go late into games and or him being substituted off. I think there's a question mark around Manchester United's squad depth a little bit there as well. But, you know, with the fact they haven't got European football this season, they are getting what they can out of Casemiro. And I think it's having a massive impact. They're, you know, when he starts, which is more often than not this season, they're doing great in first halves. But as he starts to drop off or as he gets substituted off, you saw it in the Spurs game, right? Yeah. Spurs come back and, you know, could have won that game 2-1 quite easily were it not for, you know, last minute header from a corner from De Ligt. So, yeah, not that I would be picking him in FPL, so maybe this is a non-conversation, but Casemiro, absolutely crucial, the stats say, to Manchester United's success.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a time when he'd maybe been written off a bit, right? The midfield had been written off.
Yes.
It was a real area that we thought they needed to buy in. I mean, Belaiba from Brighton was being linked with them quite heavily. He's not had a great start to the season. And I think, you know, when all these players were signing, I think a lot of Man U players were saying, well, where's the midfield? You know, Ugarte doesn't seem up to it. Mainoo isn't favoured. Casemiro is maybe in the twilight of his career, but he has had a fantastic start to the season, not just in terms of performances, but also in terms of the goal involvements he's got. I mean, he's got 3 goal involvements in the last 3 games, and, you know, been crucial goals. Yeah, big win against Brighton and obviously the draw against Forest, but there's no replacement, is there? There's no one that can come in and do that job. And I think relying on Casemiro, I mean, even over the season, you know, to deliver constantly is a big ask. So you pick one of Bruno or Mbeumo, and that's your lot. You don't even look anywhere else in United.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you and I like a tenuous link on this podcast. So I'm going to go from a player that's very important to Manchester United, but maybe struggling in his twilight years. And let's talk about Liverpool then, because we've got plenty of those as well. So, that really was a bad link. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's it.
Okay, well, we'll go with it. I don't know how much time I want to spend on this game, as because I... Listen, after the Real Madrid game in midweek, I was coming into this game full of positivity. And I think even you and I had a text conversation before the game saying, you know, this is key for Liverpool, this game, right? If Liverpool can win this game on the back of the Villa win and then the Real Madrid win, then if we win this, it's like momentum's there. The fixtures for Liverpool from game week 12 look incredible, don't they? So I was hoping we'd be on this podcast saying, well, you know, not shall we have any Liverpool? It's, well, which ones are you going for, Az? And shall we make the case for Van Dijk? Or could we have a conversation about Szoboszlai? But I just don't think we're going to do that today. I just don't think we're going to do it. And I think the fact that Liverpool was so comprehensively beaten by Manchester City. Now, say what you like about the disallowed Virgil goal. I've got some opinions that perhaps I won't share on this podcast with that. But still, that doesn't take away from the fact that Liverpool were well beaten. Like, we were well beaten against City. City even had the luxury of missing the penalty, didn't they? So before I kind of launch into any more kind of red side and Merseyside rants, I'll get your take on the game and what you made of it on the Sunday afternoon.
Well, we talked about Casemiro and, you know, the need to replace him, and he stepped up. I mean, Konate was the one that a lot of people, I imagine, including yourself, thought we probably need to address this season. And we're signing a lot of attacking players, but Konate is a weak link in this team potentially. And it was an awful performance from him against City. I mean, there was so many. It's one of the worst performances I've seen from Liverpool in a long, long time. There wasn't. I know Van Dijk obviously scored, and I think it was a bit harsh to rule that out. But I mean, other than that, really, there was nothing good coming from Liverpool in that game. And the biggest thing for me was from an FPL perspective was just watching Mo Salah. And it's the drop off. I've never seen a bigger drop off from a player who scored pretty much every game he played last season, or even when he wasn't playing well, he managed to conjure something up to score. And I was watching that, and he had a good chance and missed it. He did look like to be snatching at things a bit. He's offside. I think he was offside 4 times in the game.
I think he did get caught 4 times. Yeah.
I mean, Haaland's been offside like what, 12 times his entire life at Man City. Obviously, very different players, but I don't know. I just thought it was really poor. And then, I mean, Florian Wirtz, I mean, I talked about him at the start of the season. I thought he was potentially a game breaker. You know, 8.5 million, going to be in everyone's team, going to hit 20 goal involvements. Just, I don't know what they, I don't know. I think he's a massive problem for Liverpool because I don't know what you do with him. You need to get the best out of him. You paid 100 million, but doesn't look up to it at the moment. So I think there's big problems. And I think, unfortunately, I think that's your title bid over this year. Good luck next year.
Wow, that's scathing, that, wasn't it? That last couple of minutes, that was very difficult to listen to. But yeah, thank you for that.
Other than that, great performance.
Other than that, yeah, it's all good. I'm gonna just in the spirit of balance, I'm gonna try and make a case for Mo Salah, right? And you're not gonna like it, and I think you'll disagree. I'm gonna try and make a case. The only case that I can make, and by the way, I am clutching at straws a little bit. I will heavily caveat this next sort of 30 seconds worth of Salah conversation, is that he had 7 shots against Manchester City, and he assisted 3 other shots created 3 other shots, shooting opportunities, let's say, for Liverpool. So of the XG that we created, and we out XG, the non-penalty XG in this game was City with 0.9, Liverpool with 1.4. So we did out XG them on a non-pen XG perspective. And Salah was 60% of that, right? He was 60% of that 1.4 XG. So he was involved. I agree with you. The getting caught offside is not great, and you know, it'd be nice if he, you know, if we had some other players that could finish some of the chances that he was creating. But he did, he was fundamentally part of the XG that we created. But as a Liverpool fan, and this is a bit more of a Liverpool comment than an FPL comment, so I'll make it quickly, but aren't Liverpool supposed to be building a team that reduces our reliance on Mo Salah? Right, the whole point of going and buying Wirtz and, you know, Isak and players like that was that we're spreading the contribution that Mo Salah made last season around the rest of the team, almost kind of in preparation for when he eventually does lead the club. And I don't know, the fact that he was involved in a lot of our admittedly pretty low level XG is a bit of a worry for me as a Liverpool fan. So all that goes to say that the whole, you know, the end of, you know, after everything you've said there and that little bit that I've said there, I just don't think that you can go to Liverpool from game week 12, despite the fixtures looking so good. And I have to say, coming into this game or coming into the City game, I'm like scouting Liverpool. Like who's going to kind of step forward and say, I want to be in your FPL team in game week 12. I don't think you can go to Salah. I just don't think you can. No. He's so price prohibitive anyway, that how are you going to get there? Right. There'll be a lot of FPL managers that we'll only be able to get to Salah by selling Haaland. Well, you ain't doing that, are you? You're just not doing that right now. So it's, as a Liverpool fan, it's very difficult for me to sit here and say it and accept it. But after a fourth consecutive away defeat for us, we're now 8th in the league. I'm just not going to go there, Az. I'm just not going to go there in FPL.
Szoboszlai is the only one. He's the only one I'd look at, and I don't want him. But he's honestly the only
better
one that I'd even consider.
Bracket, though, isn't there?
I think his price all right at 6-6 given the fixtures. I've got Sarr and Rice. I wouldn't swap either of those for him. But if you do think that Liverpool are going to do well over the period, I think he's the one you go for. Because the other one I'd want would be Gakpo, and I just can't understand why he's not playing. Because every time I've seen him play this season, I thought he's been your best player.
He's just trying to get Wirtz in the team, isn't he? Anywhere he can. I mean, 11 appearances, 0 goals, 0 assists. You're right. We're not getting him either. So Gakpo and Wirtz now seemingly, you know, battling it out for that left hand side spot. So difficult to go for either of those. Move the conversation on very quickly into City. I didn't know how to segue out of that. So just like, let's move it on. I don't talk about Liverpool anymore. For every, you know, maybe negative point we've got about Liverpool, we have to, you know, say hats off to Man City. I mean, it's a great performance, wasn't it? Liverpool didn't exactly give them too much of a game in periods, but we have to say it was a fantastic performance by them. Now Haaland's now hit 100 points after 11 games. That's the third fastest FPL asset to ever do it. The first is Salah in 21-22, where he did it after 9 games, and then Haaland himself in 22-23 did it after 9 games also. But, you know, he's now the third fastest to hit 100 points. So sensational stuff. So I don't think there's too much we need to say about Erling Haaland. I think if you haven't yet got him in your team, I think you probably need to address that pretty quickly. But I've got Tijani Reinders. He looks like a sell after missing out on the start for the second week in a row. Up until this game week, I was kind of unsure as to where to go. But there are now a couple of City midfielders that might be just kind of staking their claim for us in FPL. As I mean, Doku in this game was like unbelievable, like electric. 11 touches in the box, 7 take-ons completed, 3 chances created, 3 shots, 3 on target and 1 goal. And what a goal as well. So I definitely am thinking about, and I've got money in the bank so I can do it, I'm definitely thinking about getting off of Reinders for next week. might be having a look at Doku. I don't know.
Come on. Getting off of Doku, getting off of Reinders to go to Doku seems like
that into the fire, isn't it?
Just literally, yeah, you're only going to cause pain. This is said with the most utmost respect to City, because I think they are a fantastic side. And congrats to Pep. I'm sure he's listening to this podcast for his thousandth game. But I would not be considering any player in that team other than Haaland at the moment. Because I don't fully trust their defence. I know it was a clean sheet in that game, but I still think teams can get at them. I don't like any of the midfielders. Foden would be a great pick if he was actually getting consistent returns, and he hasn't, which I think if you've had him all over this whole period, he's been playing like close to 90 minutes every game. I think you'll be really disappointed that he hasn't managed to get you anything over the last few weeks. I wouldn't be going near Doku because, don't forget, he was playing absolutely incredibly. Pep said we need him against low block teams. He's our key player. Benched against Everton, the ultimate low block team.
Spoken like just a true FPL manager that's been stung many times by the Pep roulette. I totally understand where you're coming
absolutely.
From.
Absolutely. Well, think of like the Mahrezes of previous seasons and all the players. I mean, I just would not be going anywhere near them. I think at 6 million, 6.5 million, you know, I mentioned Rice, I mentioned Saar, you've got Ndiaye at Everton. I just think there's far better options who are key players for their teams who are, you know, a lot of them got set pieces, penalties, good underlying stats. Stick with Haaland, keep your captaincy on him and avoid the rest. That's my take.
Yeah, yeah. Once bitten, twice shy with Manchester City. I totally get you.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Villa versus Bournemouth then. Semenyo in many, many FPL teams. That's his third blank in a row now. Only 9 points in his last four. I noticed Evan Nilsson was back. So I think from the bits and pieces that I watched of that game, it did seem to benefit him. I mean, we've spoken before about the fact that Krupa Jr., when he plays, is a little bit more of a greedy player. Evan Nilsson's a bit more of a team player from that perspective, you know, keeping centre-backs occupied so that players like Semenyo can find the space. So I think it was a more of a kind of Semenyo from early on in the season performance. And of course, if he scores the penalty, then we're not even probably having this conversation. And the fixtures, I think, are good for Bournemouth going forward, like West Ham at home next. Of course, Sunderland away in 13, absolutely not an easy game based on everything we said before. But then Everton and Chelsea both at home. So four home games in the next four for Bournemouth. And, you know, they've only won once on the road. They've only won once in their six away games so far this season, conceded 16 goals in that process. So away from home, they, you know, it's not been good for them. But by contrast, only two goals conceded at home. And like I say, three of the next four are at home. So for me, I'm not panicking at all on Semenyo or Senesi, my two Bournemouth players in my team. But how do you feel about it? Because like I say, that's three blanks in a row now for Semenyo.
Yeah, Semenyo's a frustrating one because obviously his price has gone up so much from when we bought him. A lot of us bought him at 7.71, something like that. So he goes into a run like Crystal Palace. Okay, Forest aren't great this season, but like Crystal Palace away, Man City away, Aston Villa away. That's three very, very tough away games. And I do wonder if we didn't have so much value tied up in him, whether that might have been we might have been looking at that run and thinking, you know, maybe we can move him to an Mbeumo or a Saar or someone. Okay, some players haven't delivered, like Saar hasn't really delivered, but like Mbeumo would have done if you'd gone for him over him. But if you've held him for this long, I don't know why you would think of selling him now, because he's had his tough fixtures. You know, those are tough games, and he hasn't delivered, but they are tough. I mean, West Ham at home,
you're
Everton
not selling
at home,
ahead of West Ham, are you? Goodness me,
two of the next, but you can't sell him ahead of those, I don't think. And Evan Nilsson's back. I mean, the interesting one with the penalty is, you know, Kluivert was back in the team. We've talked on this pod, I'm saying when Kluivert's back, what happens? And I think we both said, yeah, we think Kluivert will pick him back up. You know, he scored a hat trick of penalties, you know, last season. Surely you don't take care of him. I don't think there's any doubt now, right? That when Kluivert's on the pitch, Semenyo is not taking that penalty. So you lose a bit of that with him because the penalty is obviously very healthy, but he is very low down on my sell list. If you were going to do it, you should have done it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the fixtures are there for him to rediscover a bit of form, no doubt. Let's talk about Villa then. Just lost once in their last 24 Premier League home games, which was a stat I couldn't believe when I wrote it down in the notes.
Wow. Right?
But yeah, pretty good at home. So I think with, you know, Wolves at home in game week 13, I mean, that's one definitely to have a look at and target. I'm not really sure where I would go though in FPL though, as I mean, Watkins has scored once in 16 games in all competitions for Villa this season, and he's been left out of the England squad, so he's not exactly bang in form. The man that did the business here at the weekend was that stunning free kick, wasn't it, Buendia? He's only 5.3 in FPL. The minutes are an issue, right? He's only played, in the last five, he's only played 205 minutes, so he rarely gets the start. He's coming on and, you know, making an impact more often than not. But three goals and two assists in those last five games. So he's high impact, isn't he? Despite the fact he's not getting the minutes, he's high impact. So if Emery does look at him and go, well, you should be starting, or perhaps I should up your minutes. At 5-3, could you be tempted?
No.
All these options I'm trying to give you, Az. I know. Come on.
The trouble is, you always try and give me rotation options, and it's going to be
your
very
feedback?
Hard.
If you're going to give me options, give me good ones. Yeah, okay. Good feedback.
Basically. Well, give me options that play.
Okay, good.
That
All
is
right.
The first one. I think, I think Buendia's actually been really good this season. I think Villa have struggled, for quite a lot. But when I've seen him play, he looks, he looked good at Norwich and he signed for Villa, had a bit of a run in the team, but I thought he'd have been sold by now, to be honest, because he didn't look like he had the full backing. I'm still not totally sure he does. He hasn't completed 90 minutes all season, for example, for them in the league. There's potential there, but that's what you want to see, 80, 90 minutes consistently. Mm, so, come back to me when he's played three or four 90 minutes back to back and then we can talk about him. But until then,
very good, very good. I've got another one for you in this next game. Wait for this one. Chelsea versus Wolves then. Enzo Fernandez. Have you got Enzo in your team? I think you have, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Because I watched, easily man of the match. Superb performance. Absolutely fantastic performance from Enzo Fernandez. More shots than anybody else in the game with five, one of those off the line. An all-round brilliant performance. But in FPL, we don't necessarily get the points for nice performances, do we? We need the goals, we need the assists, we need the DEFCONs, right? And he only got a three-pointer. So how are you feeling about him? I know that he's ruled himself out of international duty with Argentina now, isn't he? He said his knee's a bit niggly or whatever. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a really bad one, but it's enough for him to not travel with Argentina. So maybe, as a Fernandez owner in FPL, that's what you want to hear. Maybe that's a good thing. So give me a view on Fernandez, but then also the rest of the Chelsea assets, because that's what now, 2-2 for João Pedro since I sold him. So, that's very typical of how this season's gone. Neto scoring against his old club. And here's the curveball for you. See if I can tempt you with this one. Alejandro Garnacho, four goals and assists in his last four games in all competitions for Chelsea. Seems to be Maresca's left winger of choice, certainly at the moment. So a few options from Chelsea, no?
Yeah, I mean, you asked how I feel about Enzo. I think the answer is sick, mostly. I'm gutted, absolutely gutted, because I brought him in ahead of Liverpool at home and he missed a really, really good chance in that. He headed it just wide. And then he missed out against Forest. He came back for international break injured, so I didn't get anything from that. And then he's played Sunderland, Spurs and Wolves. And over those three games, his XGI has been 0.75, 0.65 and 0.56.
Crazy.
So, these are like some of the best numbers in the league and he's got absolutely no points to show for it. So the easy thing for me to say is you hold and, the stats are good. Eventually points are going to come. The issue is that they needed to come really starting now. Like Wolves at home was a key game. Burnley next.
Absolutely.
Because then it's Arsenal at home, Leeds away, Bournemouth away. I don't like any of those fixtures for him. So I might even be looking to get rid of him in 13.
Wow.
And
okay.
If he blanks against Burnley and puts in some more good stats, it's going to be really disappointing. So he's been absolutely fantastic for Chelsea. He's been player of the match in quite a few games I've seen. He's an unbelievable player. But FPL-wise, it just hasn't been happening, which is a real shame.
We've had these players before in FPL, haven't we, where they just pass the eye test and they just are so integral to their teams, but you just don't get the FPL points and it's so frustrating. Wolves, for their part, only three shots all game. They didn't have any shots in the first hour. So some rumour on the meal, isn't there, about maybe a new manager coming in and maybe they've got somebody. But I think for now, they seem to be a team that we should continue to target. Crystal Palace up next for them, and then Villa away. So it's not going to get any easier for them, certainly in the short term. So let's move to Everton versus Fulham then. Fulham themselves in a little bit of a sticky patch. Only Wolves are worse than them, actually, in the form table. So I know it's Josh King for his owners, and certainly I'm one of them in FPL. Didn't get the start here in this game. He's benched. And I think the manager came out afterwards, Marco Silva, and said that was due to the physicality of the game, right? Thought Everton would be physical. And I noticed actually that he was only benched previously this season, Josh King, against Newcastle before this Everton game, which kind of makes sense, right? Because if I think in my head about physical teams, I do think teams like Newcastle, I do think teams like Everton. So maybe there's something there to look out for if you're a Josh King owner in FPL and he's coming up, or Fulham are coming up against these kind of more physical teams. Does he get the start? I don't know. But he did have an impact when he came on in this game. But listen, Everton were deserved winners here. They come out on, I think they had 14 shots to 8 and they won the XG battle as well. So I think they were deserving winners here. And as a Tarkowski owner, I was reasonably happy with the five. I thought he got the booking, didn't he, for an argument just before half time. So I think I'll take the five. But then I watched the highlights of this game, and he had one ruled out just for offside, didn't he, in the first half, and then another one off the bar in the build-up to the opener. So I was like, goodness me, as a Tarkowski owner, could have been a haul for him, could have been a haul. But in the end, I have to accept the five. Everton versus Fulham then, what do you make of the game?
Well, the problem with Tarkowski is you get him in for the DEFCONs, right? That's what you pay that extra million for over someone like Keane, potentially. Because I know Keane scored the goal and, you know, fair play if you had him. That's an amazing 15-pointer.
It seems to look for him more than Tarkowski at corners, I've noticed.
Yeah. This is it. So why would you know, if you were buying now, I don't think there's any question, right? I mean, it's three non-DEFCON games, that's the phrase, for Tarkowski in a row. And he had 7 in 8 before that. I don't know if something's changed or what's happening, but when you're paying 5-5 for a defender who, I mean, Everton, you know, can obviously grind out a 1-0, but they're not like a top defence. You need to be getting, I think, those regular returns. So he could potentially be a bit of a problem for you. I mean, we've got, like, if you look at the historical data of Tarkowski and DEFCONs, he is someone who continues to get them. So maybe this is just a bit of a blip and he comes back into it. Maybe it's the fixtures or the way, you know, certain style of play. I'd imagine him to start picking them up again. But yeah, he needs to start delivering. Fulham, though, I mean, they've only beaten Wolves. We talk about Wolves earlier being the team to target. Fulham thrashed them 3-0 last week. Other than that, they haven't won since game week five. Yeah. So they've been really, really poor. I think Jimenez has been rushed back from this injury because they need a striker up top. And Josh King would be the only one I'd invest in if he was playing regularly because he's so cheap, but he's not. So I can't advise any of their players. The only one who I think is going under the radar still is Anderson,
potentially, centre back,
the way he picks up DEFCONs each week is remarkable. And if they do turn things around and start getting the clean sheets again, he's going to be an amazing pick. Because you're looking, you know, if they can keep a couple of clean sheets in a row, he's getting eight points a game.
I agree. And I agree with you on the Jimenez thing. I do think he's been rushed back a little bit. And I think from that perspective, I think they'll still struggle in front of goal. I think they'll toil in front of goal over the next few weeks. And with Sunderland up next, who we said before with the stats, right, they've shown themselves to be very, very astute defensively. I think Fulham will struggle to score despite it being at Craven Cottage next week. So get your Sunderland players. On paper, you'd go, well, Sunderland away at Fulham. Maybe in game week one, you'd go, well, I'm not picking a Sunderland player for that. If you've got a Sunderland defender, I think you're playing next week. I think you're absolutely playing.
Yep.
Quick word on West Ham versus Burnley then. Walker Peters, I noticed, upsetting all of the Bowen owners in FPL by nicking a goal literally off his foot from a yard out. I also noticed he went on Instagram afterwards, Walker Peters, to almost he apologised to all the FPL owners of Bowen. It's a difficult one for Bowen owners to take. And actually, that's now no goals for Bowen in his last five. So if you've got him in FPL, is he a sell? And Paquetar as well, picking up his fifth booking. He's banned for game week 12. So it's a bit of a West Ham exodus maybe in FPL.
Yeah, I mean, I had Juve going into this game. I've held him for ages and I was hoping for something and he just didn't look like he was going to deliver an XG of 0.01, I think it was. So, you know, his crossing has been quite good all season, but it didn't look like it was going to happen. So that was really disappointing. Other West Ham, I think this is the time to sell, right?
They've had
a couple of wins. You've got a few points from players like Paquetar. Okay, Bowen's been disappointing, but Bournemouth away, Liverpool at home, Man United away, Brighton away, Villa at home, Man City away. Doesn't really get much worse than that. And for someone like Paquetar, you know, it's an easy sell. He's suspended. There's good options around 6 million. Yeah, and same with Bowen, right? You can go for Mateta, you can get Voltimada, Thiago, who I imagine we're going to speak about in a second. There's good options too. So yeah, sell, easy sell.
Yeah, well, you're right. Let's do that then. Let's go straight to Brentford versus Newcastle and talk about Thiago. I, for one, considered bringing him in this week. I was very, very close when I did the Jokeres move and got Saka in midfield. It still meant that I had a little bit of money. I had a bit of money in the bank to potentially have Thiago up front in that Jokeres spot. But in the end, I decided to keep the money in the bank, go for Guiu in that spot so that I can do something with Reinders next week. But I really wish that I'd got Thiago this week. So that's two goals this week. Looked very good. Really, really good, right? It's only 3 points from a possible 18 for Newcastle away from home. And that's sad. Two successive weeks they've gone ahead and lost. So, yeah, props to Brentford and props to Thiago. Got the job done here. But Newcastle away from home looking a little bit shaky, to say the least. And with, I think, maybe a knock to Pope. We've got to see what, you know, the Nick Pope injury looks like. But he did go off. Ramsdale coming in. Couldn't save the Thiago penalty, could he? And with Livramento, I think, still out at the back there. Dan Burn now getting the red card, so he's going to be suspended for a little bit too. You you know, maybe that Newcastle defence that we spoke about 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago as being, you know, up there with, you know, at least in the same conversation as the Arsenal defence, because there was a whole conversation about Pope versus Raya in goal. I don't know if we're having that conversation now. Newcastle looking a little bit leaky over the last few weeks, and Thiago exploited that the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, and of course I bought in Pope just as this started happening, right?
Of course.
Yeah. What can you say about Newcastle? There's something not quite right there at the moment. You know, Joe Linton went off and Dan Byrne got sent off and then Pope goes off injured. So, you know, you can always put a bit of a caveat around it. But yeah, I thought they were really poor. I'd rather talk about Thiago, absolutely, to be honest, because I thought, you know, 8 goals in 11 games for a striker who missed so much of last season to injury, so much change at Brentford. He takes great penalties, but he can also score from open play.
Lethal, didn't
as well.
Lethal. He looks
like a hell of a player. And I genuinely think if you're thinking of transfers this week, I'm really annoyed at myself for not going this week. I've, like you, got the money to get him, but I thought, okay, Newcastle, you know, they're quite a good defence. I've got Pope and goal. I can give it one more week. 13 points is a killer, but it's Brighton and Burnley next. I expect him to, he could easily score 2 or 3 goals across those two games. I think this is a really, really good time to be buying him. I think you want him for that game week 13 game against Burnley. I think you want to be going into that game with Thiago.
I think you want him for that, Az, but outside, I mean, the Brighton away and then Arsenal away, Spurs away in 14-15, despite what we've just said about Spurs at home. That's 3 pretty tough looking away games. That was when I was thinking about Thiago this week. That was one of the things that I just looked ahead and went, well, maybe I just don't, because those away fixtures look difficult. But I don't think that should.
I wouldn't
us
worry
off.
About playing us. I mean, I know we've kept 2 clean sheets now on the spin, but teams are still getting chances against us. So I wouldn't worry about that. Arsenal was obviously a different level. You could bench him in that game. Spurs away, you know, with the home record we were talking about earlier. Wouldn't be too worried about that. Then it's Leeds at home. Leeds away from home are a different team to when they play at home. I think Brighton, Burnley, Spurs, Leeds, Wolves. I think that you play them in all of those games.
It's not too bad. All right, well, let's do the last couple of games then. Not too much time to spend on Forest versus Leeds, although Dyche getting his first win as Forest boss suggests potentially they're moving in the right direction with Gibbs White back on the score sheet. So one for our radars, I think. But the last game, Palace versus Brighton. You touched on Brighton a minute ago saying they shouldn't fear playing us. I thought you did okay in this game. And on another day, potentially the penalty's given and you know, the game is a bit different and Palace don't keep the clean sheet. But, you know, listen, I think going to Palace and getting a point for Brighton is no mean feat. I think that's a pretty good result. They're unbeaten at home, Crystal Palace, and they've kept a clean sheet in 5 of their 11 Premier League matches, which is the third best. That's tied third for the league. So defensively, they're very good, which is why we've all got them in FPL. Why I've got Gay here. I wish he'd shown up, but never mind. What did you make of the... Well, let's do the Brighton performance and then we can talk a bit more about Palace as well.
Well, you know, in terms of all the games this week, if you'd asked me which one I thought was least likely to be 0-0,
yes,
it would have been this one.
True, yeah,
and
true.
Then watching the highlights, the game least likely to be 0-0 again would have been that game, because there were so many chances, particularly early. It was a frantic stuff in the first, you know, 15 minutes or so. But, you know, back-to-back clean sheets for the first time since February. I didn't think we had that in us from what I've seen from us this
Such
season.
Such a pessimistic Brighton fan you has. Come on.
I know.
Where's the optimism?
You've got to be. But we had some decent chances. Gomez played really well.
Yes, he did.
You know, if you are thinking of bringing him in, do be wary that I think after the international break, Matoma should be back. And he's been playing sort of left wing, so there's a bit of a worry about that. Kadioglu, I think he's been playing really well at left back. I just don't think I'd be investing in the Brighton defence. Minte's still the one for me. Still looks so dangerous on some set pieces as well. So he's the one to go for. But yeah, Palace. I mean, I bought in 2 Palace players against my beloved Brighton. They both blanked. I did get the clean sheet from Lacroix, which I was happy with. They'll be fine. You know, Saar put it on a plate, I think, for Kamada at one point, who hit it over. Mateta had a good chance. They'll be absolutely fine. So don't worry too much. It's Wolves next,
yes,
as
yeah,
we said.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, but they are the team.
Yeah, no panic from a Palace perspective. I will just give a quick shout out to, you mentioned him there, Ferdi Kadioglu. He's 4.4 in FPL. Yeah, I looked at it and I just thought, well, maybe his minutes are... But no, he started 7 matches in a row now for you guys at the back. And he often, I know it's kind of inverts into midfield a little bit. And I noticed that he took 3 of the 8 corners, right? So he's only 0.2% owned up, you know... I don't think I'm rushing there, as you suggest, with the, you know, the back-to-back clean sheets are good, but I'll take your lead on the fact that that's a bit of an anomaly potentially for Brighton. So I don't think I'm going to rush to Kadioglu, but there's just something there to keep an eye on, I think, for us in FPL.
Don't forget his goal last season. I think it was against Man City. Absolutely.
Yeah,
rocket.
I remember that goal. What a sensational strike that was. Yeah, so, so good. So I don't rush. I'm not rushing there, but it's just one that caught my eye over the weekend, let's say. And from a Palace perspective, yeah, no trouble there. I'm just hoping that Gehi can return from that injury and get a clean bill of health after the international break. That would be nice.
Well, speaking of the international break, we are heading into another one. I think it's the last one till March. So, yeah, so we can finally focus on FPL after this. But as it is the international break, make sure you keep those knees from jerking. You want to hold those transfers.
Usual advice.
I know. You don't know what's going to happen over the break. Let's all hope our players come through with a clean bill of health for Game Week 12.
And Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday to give a roundup of the season so far and a look ahead to their plans for FPL players to get in and out ahead of the African Cup of Nations.
If you haven't already done so, don't forget to join the FPL Pod Mini League. The code is XY6XPL. Lee, it has been a pleasure as always. Enjoy the international break and I'll see you on the other side.
Yes, good to see you. I'll see you then.